If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read one verse tonight. We'll read verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And then Brother Leiby will come up and talk to us a little bit tonight. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Say amen when you found that scripture this evening.
Amen.
Amen. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, read with me. The Bible says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You may be seated. And Brother Leiby, it's my pleasure.
I titled this message, "The Hand of Prayer." There's five things I want you to remember. So I tried to think of a way to get you to think of five things. These are five things. You probably heard of these things before, but these are five things that have helped me along the way with prayer. The first thing is pray to God and not man. The second thing is pray with faith. The third thing is pray with the knowledge of the Trinity. The fourth thing is pray with purpose. And the fifth thing is to pray for the right things. So we'll go through that, but I wanted you to be thinking about a hand and your five fingers. And if you tell me you really like the message, you better not say that, because I'll ask you what the five things are that we talked about, and then you'll go, duh, and you might remember one of them. So there's five things that have been helpful to me. Pray to God and not man. Well, that seems like a no-brainer, doesn't it? Pray to God and not man. But it really isn't not. It's not a no-brainer. You know, I sometimes when I take up the offering, I think, God, don't let me give a repeat prayer. You know, I want to pray sincerely. I don't want to come up and give you something, thank you for the money and that we owe you. It all belongs to you. I want to really be sincere. I don't want to have a prayer like sometimes when we sit down for our meal and partway through the meal, somebody will say, did we pray? I mean, we go through these things in our mind. We got to pray for lunch, breakfast, dinner. And then we go through it. And did we pray to God or did we not? We probably did. We prayed to our wife or whatever, because it becomes routine. And that's something we have to be careful about. Prayer is personal. It's to God. We're talking to God. And we shouldn't be embarrassed if somebody hears us, okay? We're praying to God, we're not praying to man, and we shouldn't really care what Mike Kreiner thinks of my prayer. I pray with Mike and Nathan, and you know, we swap around and pray with different people, but we have to get it out of our mind, somebody's listening to me, and what are they gonna think of my prayer? Are they gonna think less of me, or the more of me if I use these words? And it's just a bad mindset, and it puts us at odds with God because we're not praying sincerely with God. When I talk to my wife, I don't go look in Wikipedia and see how I should ask for her to do something for me, like make blueberry pancakes or something. Or I don't look in Romeo and Juliet and say, Juliet, where are you? I need you to scratch my back. You know, it's personal. So if we're talking to God, we need to really think about, we are talking to God. Right. Don't be embarrassed what if somebody is listening to our prayer or in our group or if they ask you to pray with them. Some of the things, I'm going to need some help with this message, okay? So I need some volunteers. I need four volunteers to look up a verse. And when I say that verse, I want you to stand up and read it, okay? Steve, you want to look up Matthew 3:11? Jacob, you want to look up Matthew 8:8? Victor, you want to look up Luke 18:13? And Anthony, how about Matthew 18:20? So I'll just say the verse and you stand right up and say it, okay? Read it out of your Bible. One of the things about if we're thinking about we're really praying to God, we need to have a humble spirit, okay? That's what God's looking for. He's looking for humbleness and a contrite spirit. So when we look at the Bible, we have a lot of examples, and these just kind of popped up at me. I was talking to Micah before when he was asking me about a week ago whether I was ready, and I told him no, I wasn't ready because I was praying about things and making notes and things like that. I didn't actually pull all this together until yesterday because I had all these notes all over, and I said, well, okay, how do you make sense out of all this stuff? So John the Baptist, how about Matthew 3:11? Who has that? Steve, can you read it real loud?
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Okay, so we look at John the Baptist and his attitude. He knew that he was preparing the way for Christ. He said what? I am not worthy. He was humble. And Jesus gave him the compliment that he was like the greatest prophet that there was. But he had the right attitude. I am not worthy. And really, that should be our attitude towards God. I am not worthy. If you remember in Isaiah, he said, when he saw the vision of God, he said, woe is me. You know, he realized what a sinner he was. And he said, I'm undone. I'm of unclean lips. Woe is me. How about the centurion in the Bible in Matthew 8, chapter 8, verse 8? Who has that? Okay.
The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed.
Okay. And we know a centurion was a Roman soldier, and he had a lot of authority and a lot of power, especially over the Jewish people. And what did he say? He said what? I am not worthy. He even recognized that he wasn't worthy of Jesus coming into his home. And then the publican, we know about the publican who prayed, and the Pharisee or the Sadducee, I forget which one, you know, who was kind of feeling all puffed up and he wanted everybody to see him pray. But the publican in Luke chapter 18, verse 13, who has that? Luke chapter 18, verse 13.
And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Okay, so the publican, he recognized that he was a sinner. He needed God. He said, be merciful to me, a sinner. So we see these prayers and the right attitude. We need to be praying to God. We shouldn't be worried about what other people are thinking about our prayers. Well, sometimes, why do we pray together? We could all come to prayer meeting, and we could all go in our little area on the pew and pray to ourselves. Why do we come together to pray? We strengthen each other when we pray jointly. It shows that we care about each other, and we love each other, and we care about each other's needs. How can we pray for you if we don't know what your needs are? That's why we come together, we share prayer requests, and then we pray as a group. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, we know what Jesus said about praying together. What did he say in Matthew 18, 20?
For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
Okay. If we get together and pray, Jesus is he's with us. He hears our prayers, and he's together with us. If I'm in a prayer meeting, I certainly want to know that Jesus is in my prayer meeting too, and he's helping our prayers because he's the advocate, our advocate to the Father, bringing our prayers to the Father. Okay, so my first point was pray to God, not to man. Okay. All right, the second point is pray with faith. And that's why I asked Steve to read that verse. I think this is one area we really fall down on. And then, you know, like, got five fingers pointing one at you, and there's four pointing back at me. This goes for me. We need to pray with faith because as Steve read, it is impossible to please God if we don't have faith when we come to Him in prayer. I think oftentimes we have more faith that God's going to take us to heaven if we're saved than we do when we make a prayer request. How about some helpers again? I need James 4, chapter 4, verse 2. Who wants to do that? Jared, did I see your hand there? I want to get some adults in here, if you don't mind. James, chapter 4, verse 2. And how about 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 5? Do we have any adult helpers? Victor? Okay. Thank you. Well, you know, sometimes we have needs and we don't even pray about them. And why is that? Well, it's a couple things. We think maybe we can take care of it ourselves, or we don't have faith that God's going to provide the answer that we're looking for. One of the things that always struck me was James 4:2. You want to read that, Jared? Okay, that's kind of a simple thing, isn't it? You don't have it because you never asked for it. It's like sometimes we expect our wives or someone to do something for us, and we would never ask them to help us or to do something for us. I think that's the way God works in our lives too. God's not surprised by anything, okay? We all realize that. God's not surprised by any needs that we have or any prayer requests that we have. But he doesn't take care of us just like that, because he wants us to get into the proper understanding that we need God and we need to come to Him. Lots of times we don't even pray for things because we have a backup plan. Or maybe we don't pray by faith because we have a backup plan. Well, if God doesn't answer that, then maybe I can do this. What about if I don't have enough money? Oh, well, I could pray about that. But I do have credit cards. I got this diagnosis from the doctor. And what if it's bad? And what if God doesn't take care of that? Well, I know that these other people went to this specialist. Maybe I should be checking that. What about the people we pray for salvation and they didn't get saved yet? Well, maybe they're not going to get saved. Maybe I don't need to be praying for them anymore. How about, I've really been waiting for that salary increase that I heard my other friend got, and I've been there longer than he has. If I don't get the salary increase, I'm going to tell my boss off, and I'm going to start looking for another job. How about this? I don't have my message ready for church yet. And if I can't come up with one, I'm going to look on a church website and see if I can find one from another church. If we really had faith, we could thank God for an answer to prayer when we pray it. If we really had faith, even before God answered our prayer. Well, one of the things that struck me was how we can help each other's faith. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, it talks about Paul sending Timothy to help with the faith at the church of Thessalonica. Who has that?
Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer, in the gospel of Christ to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to you I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain.
Okay. So Paul sent Timothy to the church to see how their faith was doing. And that's, you know, we can be helping each other, helping each other's faith by when we come to prayer meeting and pray for each other. And then if we're really sincere about what we're praying, we can go back to that brother and say, hey, how are you feeling? How's that going, the thing, situation that you're in that we've been praying for? To follow up on that and to encourage that person. How is your health that we've been praying for that? How's the job situation that we've been praying for that? I know Bob just went through the big thing on that. So the first thing was pray to God, not man. The second thing was pray with faith. The third thing is pray with knowledge of the Trinity. One of the things that I have never heard a pastor say is, I truly understand the Trinity. I don't know, has anyone ever really heard a pastor say that they really have that and they can explain that well? One of the things, I had a pastor, his name was Pastor Charles Keene, and he would pray with us, and I learned something from him that it never occurred to me before. And he involves the Trinity in his prayer. Let's look at the role of the Father, God the Father. I need some helpers again. I need John 16:23. Stephen, you want to get that one? How about John 15:16? How about some... Brother Joe, did you raise that hand? Okay, thank you very much. And then Romans 8:26. Any other? Brother Mike, thank you. Romans 8:26. Okay. So the Father, here's some verses about the Father in prayer. Who has John 16:23? Okay, it talks about, Jesus said, ask the Father in my name. How about John 15:16? Who was that one? Brother Joe.
Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you.
Okay, so we need to be praying, we need to be asking the Father in Jesus' name. Those same two verses say the same thing in a different way. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Who has Romans 8:26? Okay.
Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Okay. So the Holy Spirit make us intercessions for us. It even helps us to pray. We can't find the words to say what we're praying for, but the Holy Spirit is involved in our prayer and helps us to pray. So we're praying to the Father, we're praying things in Jesus' name, who is our intercessor. He's the person who purchased us and redeemed us, and that we trust in so that we can have eternal life in heaven. And the Holy Spirit helps us to make our prayer. And our pastor would pray with the individuals and myself. He would basically pray in that manner, you know, Father, hear our prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. And he would ask the Holy Spirit to help us to make our prayer to God. So the first thing was pray to God, not man. Pray with faith. The third thing was pray with the knowledge of the Trinity. The fourth thing I want to point out was pray with purpose. Sometimes we pray a prayer and we end up getting into what I said before is kind of a repetition of a prayer that we did before, because we kind of get into a groove of praying for lunch or praying for something. We really need to be careful in our mind that we're not just making repeat prayers. So Matthew 6, 7. Who wants to look that up? Victor, you want to look that up for me? Okay. One of the things about praying for purpose is there's this four-letter thing, acts. Adore, confess, thanks, and supplication. When we pray, we want to praise God. We want to adore Him. We want to lift up God. We want to confess our sin and our shortcomings. We want to thank God. And the last thing we really should be doing is coming to God with our requests, because we need to, I think, have ourselves in a proper attitude of recognizing our things that interfere with our prayer. So Psalm 22:23. Who would like to look up that one? Anthony, you want to look that up? Psalm 22:23. How about 1 John 1:9? Who has that one? Big Steve versus Little Steve. Okay, what's Matthew 6, 7 say? Who has that? Do you have that one?
But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heavens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speech.
Okay. Sometimes we get into saying a prayer over and over, and then it becomes comfortable and it almost comes out. And we have to be careful of that. If we pray with a purpose and we think, okay, God, I want to praise God, I want to confess, so if there's anything in my life that's out of the way that I can have an open channel of communication, I want to thank God for all the things. How many times do we thank God for the answered prayers He's already given us? It's like our kids. If we took them Knoebels and they go from ride to ride to ride to ride, and then he'd been there the whole day. Well, I didn't get to go on that big roller coaster. I'm really upset. You know, it's we need to be thankful for all the blessings that God has given us and all the answered prayers. So what helps me is to think of acts, to adore God in my prayer, to confess, to be thankful. And then the last thing is to be asking for the things that I have need of in my life. So, did I ask someone to look up Psalm 22:23? Somebody have that one? Anthony?
He that feared the Lord, praise Him, all ye that seed of Jacob, glorifying Him, and fear Him, all ye that seed of Israel.
Okay. So, we can pick up almost any verse in the book of Psalms, and every couple of verses talking about praising God and praise ye the Lord. And I think that's really something that we ought to could start off with when we're praying, is to make sure we give God the praise that He deserves. Okay, so that's just helpful to me, to pray with a purpose. If I make sure that adore God with my prayer and I'm confessing my faults and my sins and things that are in the way, being thankful and then asking for God at the very end, the things that I want to ask Him for. Okay, and the last thing was pray for the right things. What do you mean, pray for the right things? Well, one of the verses that I think helps us is James chapter 4, verse 3. I have a volunteer for that one, Jacob. James chapter 4, verse 3, and Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Anyone want to look that one up? Joe? Okay. Philippians 4:8. Praying for the right things. Well, does that mean you can pray for the wrong things? Yeah, I think it means we could pray for the wrong things. We could pray selfishly. I think a lot of times I feel myself I'm praying selfishly. I got all these things that I need. And then over here, well, what about those things that we prayed about on Wednesday? Well, what about the things we prayed about on Sunday? The other people, they have needs too, you know. So James 4:3, what does that say? Okay. We can be guilty of asking amiss to consume it upon our lusts. What's that mean? Well, it's for you. It's a selfish prayer. It's not all about you. It's not. God didn't make you so that he could have you be selfish and want everything for yourself. You're here to be a blessing to others and to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think sometimes we can be guilty of asking amiss. Well, what are the right things to be praying for? Well, there's lots of right things. I'm sure we could spend the next half hour coming up with right things. Salvation of souls, healing of saints, other believers, or other people to be healed so that they could receive Christ and see how God worked in their life. Restoration of people that used to be in the church, but now they're kind of backslidden, they're falling away. Peace of the saints, that we have peace in our nation and we're able to gather together and worship together and worship God and to have a vibrant and profitable church. So Philippians 4:8 is just kind of a mental guideline of what is the right things, I think, to be praying for. What's that say, Joe?
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Okay. Thank you very much. So the five things that I wanted you to remember about prayer was pray to God, not man, pray with faith, pray with knowledge of the Trinity, pray with a purpose, and pray for the right things. I think we all underestimate the value and power of prayer. I think if we really got a hold of prayer, our highest attendance would be on Wednesday. When you think about that, if you realized what you can get out of prayer, and if people could see the results of that, they'd all want to be here and have us pray for them and take care of things in their life. If we have answered prayer, we need to share answered prayer. Amen. Because God's working in your life and people need to see God working in someone's life and to realize there is a God that's out there that can take care of everything and anything that's going on in their life. So that's just a challenge for you to be thinking about prayer maybe in a different way. I think if we kind of all agree to these things in our mind, but do we really apply that in our life? Are we really telling people about, you know, I prayed about this and God answered it and it's just a blessing in my life, and encourage other people that they can go to, they can know our God and God can take care of every situation in their life.